Well, I was so excited to see Skip on there for John Muir and myself. Skip is the Surgical Quality Improvement Project, so it's wonderful to hear your words there. Thank you for the opportunity to come and present today. And my disclosures are these, and I'd like to begin by focusing on the 2012. There was a consensus of economic leaders around the world. Four of these were Nobel Prize laureates that came together for a Copenhagen meeting, Copenhagen as a consensus, and they were asked a question as to what would be the smartest way to invest $75 billion that would tackle some of the world's greatest challenges. And they came upon a list that they suggested where strengthening surgical capacity was number 8. And within their report, this comment I found very interesting. Rather than improve access just to essential surgery, there is a case for a broader intervention that improves access to a broad range of healthcare services that may be highly beneficial to poor people. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of our experience in Mongolia of working at the essential surgical care level, but at a more advanced surgical care level, and how that has actually worked as a synergistic result to help build access to better health care throughout Mongolia. Mongolia is the most sparsely populated country in the world. There's only about 2.9 million people in the country. 49% of the population live in a rural area, and 30% still live a nomadic lifestyle. This makes it very difficult to access health care at times because there aren't many roads. These vast rural areas are isolated and really present serious challenges to providing access to health care. I want to set the stage again with two areas, the essential surgical care and then a little bit more of a more high-end surgery. To look at the essential surgical care, the World Health Organization has a situational analysis tool that we were able to participate in evaluating the SUM-level hospitals or the very lowest-level healthcare facilities in the country. And this is a tool to assess really infrastructure, human resources, what interventions are available at those facilities, and what kind of emergency and resuscitating equipment that they have in those facilities. And this is a picture of one of these healthcare facilities. Not surprising, in these real rural areas, there were no qualified surgeons, there were no anesthesiologists. And looking at infrastructure, less than 50% of the places even had running water, electricity. Capability for diagnostic testing was very low. And you can take this and think, oh my gosh, we've just got to really build up the basic infrastructure of these areas or basic healthcare opportunities. How can we do anything more than that? But I think the story is actually much greater than that. At the same time, in developing countries, as we look at more advanced surgery, and you can take just gallbladder surgery because that's what we were asked to help with in Mongolia. In most developing countries, they do it as the picture on the right side, a big incision down the side, usually out of work from 4 to 6 weeks, whereas in developing countries, if you have to have your gallbladder out, you have it through 4 little holes, you can be back to work in 4 to 7 days and get back to your responsibilities in the community. Why is this important? Because in Mongolia, the second most common cause for inpatient morbidity is GI diseases. And within there is liver diseases, appendicitis, and gallbladder disease. Now, this minimally invasive approach to gallbladder disease in Mongolia was started in 1994. Dr. Buck Rusher worked with these surgeons, Dr. Nimhu, Ganbold, Okandaya, and started a program, but by 2005, still only about 2% of the gallbladders were removed laparoscopically, and many people were not coming in because they didn't feel like there was access to good surgical care. They'd present late in the course of the disease, they present with severe complications from gallbladder disease. Here's Dr. Segerlin, who's in the red in this picture, who did a little cohort study in 2005, and said, look, in Mongolia, we have a significant problem with gallbladder disease. We're doing most of these through open incisions. 12.5% of our people are having big wound infections, whereas when we do it laparoscopically, it's much less, 1.3%. And more importantly, we can't afford to have our people in the hospital for 7 to 20 days. We need them to be out of the hospital in 1 to 2 days, back in the community, building the economy, because if they're sick for that long period of time, they go from a low poverty level to a lowest poverty level. I thought she was crazy when she told me, introduction and further development of laparoscopic surgery in Mongolian surgical practice is demanded. Well, she actually had a much better idea. Her better idea was, how do we kind of bring all these groups and collaborations for essential surgical care, but also more advanced procedures, into Mongolia? Her idea was to take the Health Sciences University of Mongolia, along with the Ministry of Health, the Health Development Department, the World Health Organization, and partner this with private local industry, international and national surgical societies, NGOs, all sorts of groups, that as you can combine the efforts together, have a synergistic effect to build healthcare in her country. I have learned a lot from Dr. Segerlin. The program really was look at emergency and essential surgical care and target these rural healthcare facilities, while at the same time, at a more regional level, where there are surgeons that are active, be able to not only target basic and emergency and essential surgical care, but more advanced surgery. And she said that we needed to provide a countrywide access for the people of Mongolia to have minimally invasive surgery. By doing this, create a kind of a synergistic effect that helped build a network of facilities that have increased resources and capabilities, providing a continuum of care that utilizes limited resources that can be accessed by the entire community. So one of the initial projects we helped work with was the Global Initiative for Emergency Essential Surgical Care. This is the first coordinated effort to address the absence of adequate capacity in emergency and essential surgical care services in low and middle income countries. It targets rural hospitals, district hospitals, primary health care facilities, and health centers. And it works on improving access to surgery, anesthesia, obstetrics, and orthopedic care. This was taught throughout the country over about a 7-year period, where there were 187 SUM doctors from 14 different IMOGs, or the counties. The SUM doctors are doctors. As in Mongolia, we do have doctors. They are not as well trained as other places, but they still are physicians and not just healthcare providers. 657 surgeons and anesthesia doctors from the IMOG and city hospitals were trained, 29 midwives or feldsheres from rural provinces, and 50 nurses from rural provinces. And a 2-year evaluation following the training was able to document that there are certain procedures that improved dramatically in these facilities, their capabilities. They could do wound debridement better, wound suturing and dressing and suture removal, incision and draining of abscess, some resuscitation, improved fracture management. But after this, you get kind of just small improvements in some of their capabilities. They did have an increased capability to be able to take care of uterine rupture and ectopic pregnancy, but still only slight increase with that. In addition, they were able to document in these facilities a dramatic increase in just the establishment of an emergency room that could care for patients in an emergency situation, not just for surgical issues, but in medical issues as well. They had an increased supply of emergency kits with a resuscitation capabilities. And so they were able to document that there was some improvement. But Dr. Gonbold, who was shown in the picture earlier for starting laparoscopy, he's a senior anesthesiologist for the country, put this circle around this and said, yeah, but Ray, look, we are not making great progress in a lot of the areas. In a lot of areas, people still lack access to health care. It was in 2005 when we were invited to come and begin more advanced training as well. In fact, we were asked to come and teach laparoscopic surgery. And by teaching laparoscopic surgery also provided us an opportunity to find other needs. And so we brought in, under their direction, training for laparoscopy, radiology, surgical oncology, obstetrics and gynecology, internal medicine, general orthopedics, orthopedic spine surgery, and anesthesia. We implemented multiple formal courses in these areas, including emergency surgery and trauma team management, basic and advanced laparoscopic courses, sterile technique courses. Basic life support was begun in Mongolia through these programs. A lot of this was done with multidisciplinary teams of surgeons, anesthesiologists, engineers, scrub techs. We even brought businesses in to help support the aspect of surgery and how they can find a sustainable source of supplies and equipment. And so this truly was Dr. Segerlin's idea. It took me actually a couple years to understand what she was talking about, because when she told me that she wanted me to teach laparoscopy in Erdenet, one of the first regional hospitals, I really said, "Lady, you're crazy. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense." But I didn't understand what she needed. Here in Mongolia, we went ahead and we started a program where we have now established laparoscopic capability in the four regional areas of the country, where everybody in the country can have access to laparoscopic surgery. In addition, in each of those places, we taught basic and emergency and essential surgical care, brought in the physicians from the smaller SUM hospitals to trainings in these areas as well. So not only did we improve access to, or not only was access to laparoscopic cholecystectomy improved, but the ability for the doctors in the rural areas to make diagnoses and refer the appropriate things to the regional hospitals dramatically improved as well. This has really helped to develop a continuum of care that utilizes limited resources that can be accessed by the entire community. I put laparoscopy as the center of this slide because what I learned from Dr. Segerlin is what I think she realized ahead of time, that for her country to improve in terms of health care, they needed to have something that was an enabler. And laparoscopy, combined with emergency and essential surgical care, became an enabler in many areas. It's helped build the infrastructure of the hospitals that not only provides improved capability for surgery, but for medical care. It has now dramatically increased access to health care that the community now trusts. The ability to be able to go to the hospital and believe that you can leave without a severe complication or that you would leave the hospital has dramatically increased over the last few years. So this enabling procedure has actually built community trust throughout the system. What's happened with laparoscopic and open cholecystectomy I found very interesting, because during this time, not only was laparoscopic cholecystectomy increased, but people began to come in and be much more willing to even have an open cholecystectomy. And in interviewing this physician who is an internal medicine doctor, I began to be puzzled about this and asked her, "Why is this?" She said, "Because you have now taught our doctors in a way to take care of our patients, of our families and our friends, that when they go to the hospital, we see them come home and then they're back to work in 1 or 2 days. This is a phenomenal change for Mongolia, and we now trust our doctors that they can provide good care for us." Well, this is the combination. This is when the surgical care at the district hospital and the GSIC program began in 2004-2005, same time that we began these other countrywide projects that has, I think, had a combined effect in building this community trust. This also, by building surgical care and getting people back to work, is an extremely important concept for Mongolia. It increases the number of people that are returned back to functional capacity much sooner than they had previously been able to do so. This lady, Yun Bayar, who gave us permission to use her pictures as we have tried to share her story, that 4 days post-operatively, this is her going back and milking her horses, taking care of her family, and making her yogurt and her milk cheese. She is the matriarch, a 24-year-old young lady out living in the countryside. And she said before laparoscopy, and she had the severe pain, she suffered for a couple of years, "I just did not know what I was going to do. I could not take the time and be sick." And I think this is a dramatic improvement. What has happened? This is the summary slide for the talk. What has happened to perioperative deaths and complications in Mongolia during this time period? They are dramatically decreasing. Now, can I put all that towards the GSIC program and to laparoscopy? There are many things that are working towards making this improvement. But Dr. Segerlin and the Ministry of Health have shown this and feel like this is has a direct relationship to what has been done as countrywide initiatives combining modern surgical care with essential basic surgical care. And back to the Copenhagen consensus, a statement that these things, by being able to have not just essential surgical care, but other surgery aspects, may be important for communities for building sustainable health care in these environments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray. That was a really great presentation showing, again, how intervention actually makes a difference.